It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with former Cyclone basketball superstar George Niang about what it's like to be a rookie in the NBA. Here's a hint. It involves buying a lot of donuts. But first, Scott Koepke is well known in Iowa City for his work as a garden educator. In the past year, he's taken on some new challenges as education director of Grow Johnson County, a hunger relief and gardening education project, and his volunteer work teaching inmates at Oakdale Prison and other places how to garden. Scott is here with me now to talk about his new challenges. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Charity. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Welcome back to the show.
I didn't bring any worms this time. Sorry.
I'm very disappointed.
But I'm glad.
Next time, for sure. Well, I want to talk about your work with Grow Johnson County, because, and I want to start at the very beginning, because you are farming and teaching people to farm and garden on land that has belonged to Johnson County for a very long time. And at one point, every county in Iowa had land like this. This is the former Poor Farm. So tell me about this land.
Well, right now, if you take a bird's eye view on a GPS, you're going to see about 150 acres, approximately, I suppose. There's some really historic outbuildings that are there, the asylum, the dairy barn. Right now, a lot of it's in corn and soy cultivation still, but the county, in response to an RFP, we're going back 3 years now because the first year was the RFP, the second year
RFP.
Request for proposal. And they honored us with, really supporting our mission. And so the first year was just soil conditioning. Second year, last year, was our edibles, 15,000 pounds that we were able to pull off of those 2 acres for the food pantries.
So you reclaimed some of this land and started gardening on this land.
Mm-hmm.
In an effort to provide local food pantries and people in need in Johnson County today with
right.
fresh,
nutritious, dense food, you know, other than just prepackaged, you know, dry stuff, which, I mean, that's good. That's filler, but it's not nutrient dense. And so what's really encouraging is more of the food pantries for people who need to take advantage of that service are able to have perishable capacity to store fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables. And so, you know, it was just in and out quick because we'd pick it. It was warm from the sun, and it was in people's tummies that same day. And now we get to double our size. So we're going to try to expand the ripples in the pond, I call it, from annual veggies and flowers and herbs to some perennials. I want to get bees for honey. I want to get chickens for eggs. I want to just expand the whole definition of food out there every year to just see, you know, specialty legumes, grains, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's county property. Come on out and visit us. I'll be out there every day soon. I mean, it's hard to believe on a day like today, but all of our transplants at the prison farm, that some of the guys that are helping me get my transplants going there are going to help us with the hunger relief effort. And so tomatoes, peppers, cabbage, broccoli, all that stuff starts in a few weeks already. And we got a hoop house up this year, which was really cool. We're going to have some neighbors and an adjacent property of Sudanese group that's coming out. The history, like I said, is really profound. I never get tired of just getting out there early before anybody, just walking the grounds and just kind of absorbing the history, the heritage component, too, because what we're doing is we're growing food out there that was grown there 100 years ago. That over the last 100 years, we've lost that diversity, going from about 40 different species down to just, you know, corn, soy. And so it's good to see us back to the future.
So in the request to sort of take some of this land back and start growing food for people in Johnson County who need it, returning kind of to the original mission of this land or part of that original mission, there are lots of places that are starting community gardens to provide food pantries. So in this case, is it volunteers who are growing the food?
We're largely a volunteer organization. You can go to our website, growjohnsoncounty.org. We got a volunteer link there. That it's a great website. It just shows you, what we're doing, what we're going to do, how you can be involved. But it all starts with a premise that I have to go back to before I forget. And before we get into corrections, and that is that, you know, this was a brainchild of John Bowler, our executive director, who, you know, approached me going on, like I said, 3 years ago now and said, you know, I got this idea and I just immediately it clicked with me because and it's not his quote, but he's reinforcing this idea that nutritious food is a human right. You know, that we kind of start there. And not everybody is going to agree with us, okay, but we're sticking with it. Some people just can't afford to buy a $4 pepper, okay? Duh. And so, or a watermelon even, or sweet corn, or whatever. And so we're providing it for them, and not just giving them this fish, teaching them to fish,
right.
You know, so, that whole thing. So that's where I come in.
Your title is Education Director at Grow Johnson County. So what is your mission within the organization? Obviously, you're out there gardening.
I'm out there working. In fact, this year, because we're doubling our acreage, I'm out there a lot more just doing operational stuff, but which is great. But I'm also teaching a lot in the community. Like, I go to a lot of schools in the corridor between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City and in the surrounding districts, doing the same curriculum I've been doing for years that I teach at Kirkwood in the continuing ed program, you know, gardening 101, soil science 101, food waste management, local foods, economics and policy, and life skills. Those are the five classes, basically. So we're trying to just grow growers. You know, I know that's another cliche, but it's true. And you know, I've got, for instance, some summer camp kids that are coming back out again this year from YES. It's a local group called, it's an acronym for Youth Empowered to Serve. And these kids are in high school, and they come out, and the at-risk kids want to learn how to, you know, just show up on time for a job. And they do some chores with me, and we gather for classes, and then we pick fresh food. And, you know, like, the last day of camp last year was probably the most rewarding when I saw kids who had never – I remember one girl who, we started off the first day. She didn't know the difference between, she said, you know, what's planting and harvesting? What's the difference between planting and harvesting? So we had to start from the, you know, very beginning, which, as you know, is soil for me. And, and then we got to make fresh salsa. So, like, we picked, it was so awesome. We had fresh tomatoes, peppers, onions, and then for the sugar content, we took watermelons and cantaloupe and chunked them all up into this big pico de gallo, you know, sat down on the straw bales with dipper chips and just mowed down on this fresh food that you pick it, you eat it, you prep it all in the same, like, half an hour. And you should see the eyes light up just on a simple little thing like fresh salsa, you know,
knowledge that they help to grow that.
Exactly. And then they get to go home with their Grow Johnson County T-shirts and then go to school and get to tell kids. And hopefully that'll, you know, be infectious, where they can send more of their kids out, their peers out this summer. So
now, you've also mentioned your work with the correctional system and a lot of that volunteer work on your part with the correctional system. How did you get involved with you? You mentioned the prison farm at Oakdale.
Yeah. First of all, I have to publicly thank Dr. Mary Cohen. Okay. And Mike, who's going to be on later, Cervantes, knows her very well too, because she's just an angel. She heard me speak publicly about my outreach I don't know how long ago this was. She then approached me saying, I think I need to hook you up with, you know, Oakdale. And I've been wanting that connection for a long time. So she got me into an orientation there for volunteers, and then I got my security clearance. And so I started going out there working actually on the farm operationally, but also teaching classes, because I got permission to do that from the warden and Kirkwood. And so I have to go back to a premise there, too, because this is kind of what I go back to as my foundation, is that any of us, like I said, we all have a right to good food. Any of us could be locked up, Charity. You could be locked up. Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Scott Koepke. You know, when you start listening to people's stories and you go down that rabbit hole of choices, what was profound for me, and this just, you know, happened to me. I mean, hopefully I'm getting to be a better listener, because I know you are. I mean, this is what you do for a living. But I just started listening to people's stories, from juvenile detention to Oakdale and food insecurity. And I realized any of us could be in those lines. Any of us could be locked up. And, you know, we're not excusing behavior necessarily, because there are things that lead to, you know, incarceration. But to understand it is the first step in rehabilitating it. And you know, so I'm just so thrilled that, you know, research affirms this. And the correction system here supports the outreach that Dr. Cohen's doing, that Mike Cervantes is doing, that I'm doing. And these things are not a Garden of Eden magic answer.
Right. You teach,
but they help.
Teach an inmate how to garden. It doesn't fix all the world.
No, it doesn't. But it plants seeds of awareness. You know, those are another cliche. I'm a cliche machine over here today. But, you know, you just – and some seed lays dormant. But you plant it anyway. You throw those things out that germinate, and they maybe they don't, but maybe they come out later. And so,
you mentioned the prison farm. How much land are you working with?
Oh my goodness!
Over there?
Well, here's the thing. I thought I was going to a garden, you know, because I do a juvenile detention garden, and that's a much larger, or smaller scale. I walk out there and I go through these gates and gates and gates, and I get to the prison farm, and it's 5 acres. Charity, it's like the biggest. And I have to give these guys props because. I joked I was going to nominate him for Farm of the Year, I'm not kidding, because I work with a lot of farmers, right? And I would come out of there, and they're just doing, again, annual veggies that are going into the cafeteria, and then I pick up surplus and distribute that, too, so they feel like you give back a little more to the community that way as well, when all they're getting is you're bad, you know, if that's all you're told, well, you're probably going to be that way. So like, anything you can give them to make them feel like they're, you know, not
making
just,
a contribution.
Right, yeah. So, 30,000 pounds per acre they're pulling off of this. Okay. Now, to people who don't maybe know how great that is, what we're doing is half that. So, and most vegetable producers are looking at those numbers going, that is incredible, just in terms of, you know, volume. So, the crew out there is really a pleasure to look
a
work
lot
with.
Of land. And a lot of produce that's coming off that land.
And a captive audience is the joke. but sorry. But,
all right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Scott Koepke, and he's well known as a garden educator in Johnson County. He's been doing it for a long time, reaching a lot of people, a lot of children in the community. He's taken on some new challenges. He's now education director for Grow Johnson County, which is a hunger relief and gardening education project. And he also volunteers to work in the correctional system as well. We'll talk more in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 20 minutes, I'll talk with basketball superstar of Cyclone fame, George Niang, about what it's like to be a rookie in the NBA. That's coming up in a few minutes. With me right now is Scott Koepke. He is the education director at Grow Johnson County, which is a hunger relief and gardening education project. He's also doing a lot of volunteer work teaching inmates at Oakdale Prison and also a juvenile correctional facility about gardening. And we've been talking about his work. In just a moment, we're also going to be joined by Mike Cervantes of Inside Out Reentry, which is an organization that helps inmates, once they've been released from prison, reenter society. And, Scott, before we bring Mike into the conversation, you were talking about how much ground there is dedicated to the prison farm at Oakdale Prison. You've also been teaching classes, and you've been able to set this up in conjunction with Kirkwood Community College. So the inmates that you're teaching also have an opportunity to earn college credit through these classes.
That's right. I'm a continuing ed instructor there. And so, you know, whatever legitimacy you can give them when they leave incarceration with a piece of paper saying, look, I took these classes and I'm, you know, it helps. It's not a magic answer, but it helps them with post-incarceration employment opportunities. And so that's really what's driving me the last several months. And I'm just so thrilled and thankful that both prison officials and Kirkwood officials agreed that, yeah, of course, we're going to do this. And the class filled up immediately. It's like it's a, you know, typical class size of 30 guys or whatever, and I've already got a, you know, next list for the next rotation. But so they're taking – and actually tomorrow night is the last of the 5 series – and then they're going to get, you know, continuing ed credits. So, you know, I've got a lot of networks and partners in the community who can maybe help them with a landscaping job or food industry job. I mean, we all eat, and there's something out there. It's a modest income, though.
Well, and that's something that, you know, everybody who's ever tried to farm or been involved in farming knows. It's incredibly hard work, and you don't make a lot of money, depending on the kind of operation that you're involved with. But it's a grind.
It is,
and, of course, now the people that you're working with who are working on the farm at Oakdale Prison, they're making, what, 50 cents an hour
right
now.
54 cents an hour, that's right.
So they're working very hard. But when you talk about what might come next, is there some concern? Like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be preparing myself for this line of work.
Well, a lot of the guys, you know, and this is another thing I did when I started listening better, hopefully, is just understanding that a lot of the people who are incarcerated came from food insecurity and basic needs weren't being met. And that there's a lot of research on the link between poverty and incarceration. So implicit in that is I should have seen, you know, this coming. But so, I mean, what I'll give you a quick story. We're harvesting watermelons this summer, and I'll never forget this. This was pretty profound because it was the elephant in the room moment. And we're literally on a chain gang, you know, throwing watermelons from one person to another to get in the trailer. And it's just, again, Charity, it's just an incredible farm. I mean, these guys are just really good at growing vegetables. I mean, and they don't even know how good they are. That's the thing. And so, you know, finally this one guy next to me, he says, so how much money are we talking here? And I knew this was coming. And so I was just like, kind of mumbled out, oh, 20,000. What's that? About 20,000 something, you know, it's like the average, because we've done some data on, you know, that's why we all have second and third jobs. And he just kind of, this guy's great. I mean, he's really trying hard to change his life around, right? We all deserve that second chance, I believe. And so there's this kind of uncomfortable pause, and then he looks at me and he goes, bro, crime pays more than that. And then he winks at me. But he was just trying. He says, dude, I love what you're doing. I just need to reinforce something here. Most of us here are here because we're gamblers with poor risk assessment. So you're telling me I'm going to leave these gates and go out and make watermelon money when I could have made that in one weekend selling X, you fill in the blank. You know what I'm saying? So that was huge for me, because then that puts the burden on me as an educator. And this is why I'm glad my last class tomorrow night is kind of like the capstone called Life Skill Garden. And we're going to talk about value systems that go beyond just, you know, money. It's like, if you're really serious, you know, you're going to want to, you know, add other dimensions to what drives your decision making when you leave here so that you don't come back. That's what Mike's all about. That's what I'm all about.
Well, and this is the perfect time to bring Mike into the conversation. Mike Cervantes is the director of Inside Out Reentry. Hello, Mike.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me on, and it's nice to talk with Scott as well.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for being here. And I know that your program is dedicated to helping people who've been incarcerated return to society. There are a lot of challenges that people face when they're coming out of prison or a correctional facility. But I want to focus on this part of what you're doing, because this is what we've been talking with Scott about. From your perspective, what do you see as the value of teaching inmates to garden?
Well, first off, I'd like to start by part of the reason I'm doing this work is I began, like Scott, as a volunteer teacher up at Oakdale, and teaching a variety of courses. And every course I taught, the issue of reentry, what it was going to be like when they were out and back in the community, came up. And so when I had the opportunity to connect with Inside Out and continue that work, I jumped at that because there's three things that we're really seeing. One is we're seeing a person needs to have needs committed to making changes, to not going back, to not going back to what got them in prison. The second thing is having a support network. But the third thing is having a clear plan for what they're going to do, what in terms of employment, in terms of housing, and other issues. And what Scott's doing is providing them with skills and providing them with certification for their skills that will help enable them. The best situation is when a person plans, does that part, does their plan before they're released. Because after a person hits the street, it's so difficult. There are a lot of obstacles. There's reconnecting with family. There's finding work. There's finding stable housing. And so if it can happen while a person's still inside, it makes a tremendous difference. So I really applaud, and I'm really glad that Scott's doing that work.
Well, and in addition to preparing someone for possibly getting a job after they leave prison or are released, what else do you think an inmate takes away from this kind of program, because even if they're not going to wind up in this line of work, I mean, clearly there's value in this kind of education. What do you see in that?
Well, and echo what Warden Jim McKinney at Oakville talks about. He talks about learning responsibility and learning how to live life differently than maybe you've done before. Like Scott brought up, selling drugs is a much faster way to make money for some people, and they know how to do that. But this is doing something different. It's developing those skills. One of the things we're finding when people first come out is that they don't always get the job they want, and the career they want, and the field they want. But if they can, put in a good solid 6 months on a job, and we have partnerships with Goodwill, which helps provide training jobs, and it's great to be able to get that pattern of, okay, here's a different way of living. It's going to work, it's doing it differently than they've done before. So I think it's very valuable.
Well, and Scott, you were talking about just the tremendous work being done on this farm right now. I can imagine that's an incredible confidence builder, just having your outside perspective coming in and saying, wow, look what you're accomplishing with this.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they had no idea how good they were. And I told them, really? We're that good? I'm like, yeah, you're that good, and like Mike said, too, and like Warden McKinney is amazing because he does support it, and not every correction system does. But the research is very clear. The outreach that Mike is doing, the outreach that Mary's doing, and myself, et cetera, these things help reduce recidivism. And I'm excited about doing more research on my own because I have my story to tell here, but I want to partner with more academics to be able to do evidence-based, identification, measurement, and interpretation of showing that this is effective in the long run. And there is some of that out there. There's research on green spaces leading to less conflict.
Well, and I wanted to talk about that, too, because when you're looking at job training and those kinds of skills leading to less recidivism, there are so many more elements to what you're doing that go beyond job training. So I want to ask you about that, because there has been a lot of research and a lot of conversation about contact with nature, contact
Absolutely.
With green space, and how that can help people with their mental health, their physical health, and, all sorts of other things. So from your personal perspective, I know you've worked in a juvenile detention facility as well. When you take kids outside and start teaching them how to garden, kids who maybe haven't spent much time outside, what do you see?
Well, one of the first things I see is anger management is reduced. Or how do I say that? It's people
improved.
People chill out.
Okay. That's the way to say it.
I mean, most people who are there they're dealing with, well, a lot of us are dealing with that. But, I mean, especially if you're incarcerated and if you're 14 and you've got this cultural hormonal desperation of this dramatic stew going on in your life at that age. I mean, sure, you're going to be angry, but I see it. I see it, but I want to show people that it really works. And beyond that, like tomorrow night, we're going to be going through my top 10 list, and I just can't wait for this class tomorrow night. I'm so excited about it.
What's your top 10 list?
Balance, respect, patience, nurturance, resilience, healthy choices, trust, humility, listening, and gratitude. And I bring evidence of every one, and there's no order of importance there. And in fact, the list can change. But in my experience, my outreach, for whatever it's worth, I can teach those life skills in the garden context. So whether or not you're going to go into it after you take my classes or not, that's not the point. The point is I planted the seed, and it may or may not serve you, but you plant it anyway. Warden McKinney said the other night at the choir concert, there's two of them a year, and we just had the Christmas one, and they have a therapy dog program there. We have one at Juvie too. Well, there's evidence there's three dogs tomorrow night in my class, and I'm so attached to them because I'm a dog lover, right? And, I remember I said to him, I don't care if it's a puppy or a baby brother or a plant. You are learning this act of taking care of something. And by transference, you will, even if you don't know it, and even if I can't prove it, I got to believe it in my heart that it is helping you take care of yourself and your community when you leave this place so that you don't come back. That's what it's all about. When you walk into the prison, that's one of their mission statements, is that, you know, they're here to protect the community, but they're also, one of their missions that they're living is to do whatever we can to reduce that rate of return.
And Mike, I know that you, again, you work with people who have been released from being incarcerated with so many different aspects of life, finding a place to live, dealing with social services and trying to reconnect with family and so many other elements. What have you seen that tells you that this kind of work is making a difference?
Well, I was just talking to a gentleman the other day who was in Oakdale for a number of years, and he is actually doing agricultural work, so it's really exciting.
Awesome.
And I see without a doubt what those top 10 that Scott talks about. When people focus on those, and it doesn't be all of them, it doesn't be every one of them, and we see it with when people are working with mentors, and when we do community meetings, it gives people a chance to share those concepts. We know they aren't spelled out like that. That is an incredible difference. And you see people who've been in and out a few times, and when they're really ready to make that change, and they talk about what they did before and what they're doing now and how they're, and that's on the front of their heads. We always talk about ask people what the biggest barrier is for their success when they get out, and those are our first questions we ask. And if the person who acknowledges that it's their own understanding, making sure that they don't go back to what things that got them there in the first place, but also begin moving in these positive directions, not just the negative things, but what are the positive things? Those are the people we're finding have the most success.
Mike, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mike Cervantes is the director of a program called Inside Out Reentry. It's dedicated to helping people who've been incarcerated return to society. And Scott, you've been a garden educator for many years, and for a long time, a lot of your work really focused on kids in the community. And
still does, to a certain extent, yeah.
And going into schools and things like that. And you're kind of a local legend in Iowa City, a much beloved individual.
And you're not. Give me a break.
But you took a big leap of faith doing this. You left something that you really loved and that you were great at doing to leap into this new thing. What makes it worth it to you?
You can't not. I mean, there are certain doors that open unexpectedly. I just got phone calls out of the blue, like, you know, from the juvenile detention center and, you know, Oakdale, et cetera, and saying, look, we can't pay you right now, but we know about your work. Can you come help these people? I'm like, how can you not? How can you not just say, yeah, I'm just going to. And I need, as I told you before we started the show, Charity, I needed that lesson a long time ago, to trust my heart, take a leap of faith, walk the talk, just get up and go. And doors, and this is a lesson for all of us, you know, if you do that, there's unexpected doors that you can't see that are going to open up. Not all the time on your time. Like, I mean, you know, it's not as if every day it's a Garden of Eden cakewalk here, but it does feel good to trust your heart, you know, and also going back to research, you know, when you have a healthier diet, you think better too. So that it all goes back to food and everything and healthy food. And, you know, what's done is done. You know, when someone's incarcerated, you can't change the past. So all we can do is gather you up in my arms, literally, and we're just going to go out and heal, you know, in the garden. You know, my sister has a quote she wants to put on my T-shirt that just says, when society gives up on someone, that's who I want in my garden. And it's true. I don't care what you've done. Well, I care, but what I'm saying is I put that aside. We can't change that. That's the judgment side. Now, if we're serious about changing and rehabilitation, we have to realize we all have the capacity to change. You know, and if you don't believe that, then you're not going to do it, you know. But I'll never forget, do I have time for one last quick?
Yep.
Okay, so this was so profound for me in the whole theme of gardening heals people. That's another quote I'm going to put on my next bumper sticker on my over bumper stickered truck. But it was one of my first days out there with these guys, and I was leaving with them, and I'm going to the parking lot, and they're going to prison. You know, and if you've never been to a prison, I don't know have you been to one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's intense. This is a medium security facility with one gate that closes behind you, another gate closes behind you, another gate closes behind you. You hear that boom, boom, and you're just, wow, now I'm in here, you know. And so we're leaving, and they're going back, and this guy turns around, and he just looks at me, and he says, and I have to edit this for public radio, by the way, in terms of my language here, but you'll get the gist. He just goes, hey, man, you know, why are you spending time with screw-ups like me? And it just hit me in the gut, and I said, I just responded from my heart. I said, bro, we're all screw-ups. That's not the point. Point is, what are we going to do now for a life skill so that you don't come back? And he puts out his hand for a fist bump, and he says, you all right, man, I'll see you soon. And that's what it's all about.
So. Oh, Scott, we're out of time, but thank you so
thank
much
you, Charity.
For talking with me today. Scott Koepke is the Director of Education with Grow Johnson County.